This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best and free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of A Week Late Podcast Retro. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489, and I will be your host for Jedi Junkies. This is a documentary released in 2010, so it's a few years old. And I'll be watching it through the wonder, of Hulu. Let me read to you the description. Jedi Junkies is a fun, affectionate, and funny look at a series of people whose personal and professional lives were changed forever by the incredible franchise known as Star Wars. This one has been on my queue for kind of a long time. I'm thinking about dropping Hulu, so I'm getting a lot of my movie watching or whatever I have on my Hulu queue out of the way. I already pay for Netflix, and they don't have commercials. I'm kind of tired of the app freezing up and... not only on my Xbox, I don't really have a problem with the app on my Android device, my Evo, but the only gripe I have about it is that you can't transfer, it has to be it has to be stored on the device itself. It can't be stored on your SD card or whatever, and it takes up like 12 or 13 megs. I know it's not a lot, but when you only have a gig of internal phone memory, like the Evo does, which is the only kind of lame thing about it, never thought I'd have a problem until I realized that some of the people that make these applications don't realize they have to make the app native to the phone, and it just messes with the situation like mine, where my only phone storage is 1 gig. But via the Xbox 360, I don't know if it's a network thing. But to be fair, though, the same thing happened to the YouTube app on the Xbox 360. But never Netflix. It's weird. I don't understand. If one app works, they should all work. Not sure why. One would be better over the other. Maybe it's a development thing. Maybe Microsoft sucks, or YouTube is following suit. I don't know. So hopefully it won't take me out of the movie too much. This movie right now is sitting at a rating of 3 out of 5 stars. So either people aren't liking it, or there's something about the movie that offends them. Because when you talk about, Star Wars to the avid hardcore fan, any little misquote or misstep, or they go nuts. So I'm eager to see how they portray true Star Wars fans, just by editing or simple music in the background. You can change the tone of a scene or make somebody look stupid by taking one sentence out of context, or some of them really are just really, really crazy. I actually dig Star Wars fans better than I dig Star Trek fans, But I'll tell you what, Star Trek, J.J. Abrams' Star Trek made me a Trekkie for the new storylines, not necessarily the old ones, but you know, I respect it just as much. Middle of the road, I wouldn't go on this, just for those reasons. I don't want to, you know, give it too much credit. Not too sure how long this movie runs, but oh, it is 1 hour, 12 minutes, 41 seconds. The movie itself is not rated by the MPAA, Motion Picture Association of America, but it did get, like I said, a 3 out of 5 from people that viewed it on Hulu. Not too sure who directed this movie, but I will be taking notes during the course of this film, and any other things I find that stick out. So go ahead and watch Jedi Junkies. It's available on Hulu Plus. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. Probably, you know, some of these movies are even showing up on YouTube for free. So I know that they have a lot of different channels. Their structure set up is different now. They're all getting ready to migrate for the announcements we heard at E3 for Internet Explorer integration into Xbox, which should have happened way long ago. I don't know why you can browse the Internet on the Wii, yet a more advanced system graphically like the Xbox 360 does not have its own web browser by a company that makes effing web browsers. So I don't know why it took them so long. So yeah, go check it out. We'll take a break, and we'll be back for part two, a week late retro for Jedi Junkies. Peace. Okay, welcome back to part two of a week late retro episode. Once again, I'm Darren, aka Analysis489, and I just got done watching Jedi Junkies. Actually took some notes, and it was directed by a guy named Mark Edlitz, I want to say. Who also did some camera work. It was apparently shot by a quote-unquote studio called Tuesday Night Movies and published by a company called New Video. I guess I'm going to get right into it. Our rating system for the retro and Hulu and Netflix episodes are ratings from 0 to 5 stars, and I don't know, I went into this movie thinking that it was going to sort of be a little bit cheesy, and while it was done in a good way. It didn't portray anybody more negatively than they made themselves look already, with the exception of some guest stars, I guess. I was pretty impressed by the amount of actual stars from the movie that these people got to interview and talk to by making this movie. So on a scale of 0 to 5, I'd give this movie, this was a really good movie. Besides some audio issues early on, it looked like some of the audio wasn't syncing up. Oddly enough, I did not have any connection issues with Hulu tonight, and this is the second time that I've watched a movie that has not been interrupted by commercials on Hulu. So they're getting a little bit better about commercials. I watched The Black Knight a while ago with Martin Lawrence, and it had commercials at least 3 or 4 times in the movie. Two in a row, no commercials, so they're doing pretty good. This movie, like, probably a solid 4.25 out of 5. Some of the production value was a little bit lo-fi. It reminded me of maybe they shot some footage, like, in the 90s on a, I don't know, like on a old school VHS camcorder. But besides that, you know, like I said, they did a really good job of keeping the nerdiness or the geekiness or whatever the case may be as far as the person's personality. They didn't skew it by playing, like, you know, goofy music in the background while somebody was talking. For the most part, it barely even had a soundtrack, but so this movie gets a 4.25 out of 5. I highly recommend watching it, even if you're not into Star Wars or anything like that. It's funny because they did mention the difference between a Star Wars geek and a Star Trek nerd, which I thought was pretty interesting. So the movie has a lot of really funny people. They're not trying to be funny on purpose. They're just, like I said, their personalities shine through, and I recommend giving this movie a watch. Like, it made me feel good to see that people are passionate about something still. I mean, granted, the movie is only 2 years old, but it's funny to see the people that are sort of making fan films still for something like Star Wars. In a lot of ways, you know, they probably get made fun of by other adults and stuff like that, but in a lot of ways, they have probably bigger balls than most people that care about something in their lives, you know. There was a guy that was being interviewed that, you know, says he doesn't understand why they get ridiculed for liking something so passionately like Star Wars when, you know, he has a best friend that spends even more money, more time on something as simple as, you know, being a basketball fan or a football fan. In a lot of ways, that's what makes, you know, you can be a nerd about it. Everybody's a nerd or a geek in a different way. It just took society this long to realize that, I think. But anyway, if you want to know the difference between a Star Trek nerd and a Star Wars geek, apparently, you know, for more defined phrase, you can watch the movie, but basically is what it boils down to is that the Star Wars geeks think that Star Trek nerds are loners and introverted, while Star Wars fans are a little bit more lively and extroverted and social. I don't know how true that is. I've been to plenty of Halloween parties that have a ton of Star Trek, you know, people, you know, cosplayers or whatever. I think it's funny how even people that call other people dorks or nerds have an exception to the rule one night out of the year to dress up as something. You know, they have all these Comic-Con conventions. They talk about Dragon Con a lot in this movie, where people are, it's funny because 2010, I'm pretty sure the term cosplay has been around for years, but I guess just now making it into the mainstream. The makers of this film called the person a costumer, which is a little weird. You figure for somebody doing a movie on Jedi junkies would know the term cosplay, but never once was mentioned in this film. I thought that was interesting. The only time someone was made out to be more negative than they actually were was when they had a few interviews with Olivia Munn. I don't know if any of our listeners out there know who she is, but she was hired as a hostess for Attack of the Show. It's a show on G4. Recently, Kevin Pereira just left that show as well, and Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist used to do segments and co-host every once in a while, taking over until they can find a permanent replacement. But she was in this movie, and I kind of was like, why is she in this movie? And I thought at first it was only going to be a few minutes. She pops in and out like most of the celebrities do in the, throughout the entire film, and the only time somebody was like pretty much made fun of is when she was talking about a guy that built a life-size, I don't know if it's life-size, it was probably like one-tenth the scale, because Millennium Falcon's probably supposed to be really, really big, and this one fit in his backyard, like, on one block, like, on a, like, a half-acre land. There's, the Millennium Falcon would take way more than that. But anyway, he built this thing to scale, and she was pretty much making fun of him about how she would let him touch her boob because she knew that he was pretty much a virgin. But besides that, everybody was pretty much pretty cool with everybody else. And I've heard that. I mean, I'm not making any judgments. I'm sure she's a nice girl, but a couple of different times I've heard of her being like diva status, bitchy to people. That coupled on top of the fact that when she first started at G4, she didn't know anything about movies or video games, and she sort of like faked the funk until she actually got into it. So I don't know how genuine she is, but she's in this movie, so there's that. I thought it was pretty funny that there's a cover band called Aerosith, and they get flack or praise, depending on who you ask, for playing in between panels at Comic Cons or Dragon Cons or pretty much any con. What happens is there's these panels where famous people or certain people that have something to do with a specific project at the con. For people that don't know, a con is a short word for a convention. There's a Star Wars convention, there's a comics convention, there's any type of whatever you're into, there's a con for it. So in between these panels or interviews of people that are involved in specific projects, there's about 5 to 10 minutes of downtime in between, maybe even more, in between these panels at these cons. And Aerosith goes in, and it's a band. It's like they call themselves a parody band. They, I guess, write original music and do like a little show in between panels at cons. And I thought it was pretty funny because they all have real names, but they also play a character while they're on stage as a band. And one of the character names for one of the band members was Luke Cymbalwalker, and the other guy was Got Mauled. So there's pretty funny and quirky people in the movie. Another celebrity that pops up a lot is the director for the Blair Witch Project. Apparently he's a huge Star Wars collector. And then he goes into talking about fan films, which are people, like I was mentioning earlier, that get so passionate about something, a movie, that they have extended the storyline of said movie and made their own sort of characters or based the storyline off of existing storylines and characters from other fan films even. And they interviewed the director for, the crew or the creators of a fan film out there called Chad Vader, which is pretty popular on YouTube. They had the idea to put Darth Vader's little brother in our world, and like he manages a grocery store. And it's funny to see like a powerful character like Darth Vader be sort of belittled and put into these situations where he's the night manager and gets disrespected by his crew. And like it's pretty funny how people get creative and put their stock and their blood, sweat, and tears into something that may not have any financial gain when it's all said and done. But I don't know, it sounds kind of cheesy. Made me sort of realize, these documentaries make me realize that there's good people out there, and that not all hope is lost, no pun intended. Actually, no, I'm going to intend the shit out of that pun, because I think that in order for people to sort of find not even like joy, but happiness or sporadic whatever you want to call it, acceptance or feeling like they're part of something bigger. They need to maybe watch Star Wars or go to a convention every once in a while and put on a costume to just forget about stuff and have fun. There's a lot of people having fun in this movie, and I think as we get older, we forget to have fun, and that subject is touched on in this movie. So I guess going back to the director of the Blair Witch Project, which if you haven't seen those, they're pretty okay. The first one was sort of a big probably one of the first major films that I saw that's supposed to be like this found footage. I thought J.J. Abrams was one of the first to do that, but thinking about it now, going back and watching Blair Witch, this was probably like 96 or 97 that movie came out, and it was all like first-person camera shot stuff. Probably one of the very first found footage films that I've seen, and by that is people that haven't seen Chronicle or you know, Blair Witch Project or... what's the other one by J.J. Abrams? T.J. Miller's in it. Cloverfield. They make you believe that this possibly could be... A lot of found footage films use actors that are very new or up-and-coming because they want to keep the believability that the footage that we've quote-unquote found and are now watching is authentic. Apollo 18 was done that way. Is it 18? Whatever. You get my point. Anyway... they go into this thing where they interview psychologists and psychiatrists to talk about the transition between just being a fan and then becoming a collector and walking the thin line between a collector and a compulsor, like someone who collects something to the point of no end, almost to the point of being a hoarder. I find it funny what people put up with from their spouses to stay in a relationship, because this guy has a wife and two or three kids, and they all sleep on the floor because his collection's gotten so out of hand that they don't have beds anymore. I think that's ridiculous, but they all seem happy, So I don't know about that, but I think when you start sleeping on the floor because your Looney Tunes collection is keeping you from having a bed or sleeping with your wife, it's time to sort of back it up or at least put the shit in storage. I mean, it's like $1 a month now, right? What else? There's this, I guess, you know, the cosplay takes into consideration, but there's also this guy that started this thing called New York Jedi. And he created this choreography class where people come up with their own costumes and act out lightsaber fight scenes. Apparently this guy's making money off this because there's like 40 or 50 people in Brooklyn in the New York area that are involved in this. And I don't know. I'd like to know... whether or not he is making money. I mean, I would imagine there's some sort of dues to join. There's sort of a monthly thing. They're pretty popular. They go around doing shows at different conventions. And this kind of goes along the theme of just this podcast alone. It's like, if you are into something and you want to do something, I'm not making any money off of this. If anything, this website and the project is, and the podcasts and the shows that we're putting together are probably costing me more money than I'd like to admit, but it's fun, and if you stop having fun, kill yourself, because what's the point? Don't really kill yourself. Shoot us an email, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. We'll talk about it. I wrote down... There's this, I have sort of a spoiler alert for people. If you're creeped out easily by these dudes that stretch their ears out, the same guy that, you know, had a wife and kids that were sleeping on the floor or whatever, he had his ears stretched out to the point, and the camera was so close to him where it looked like his earlobe was literally going to fall off the side of his face, and it was the only thing I could focus on. I don't know if it's – I don't know why. I'm not easily squeamish. You know, I'm okay around blood and puke and shit jokes and fart jokes and all that stuff. I don't care. But stretched out earlobes are fucking gross to me, and – I don't care who knows it. They can be done tastefully, and the people that do, I know some of them, not talking about you. But this guy, at least put something in your ear so we're not seeing a huge hole on either side of your face. It's disgusting. And they kept going back to him, and the close-ups were just so close to him. I don't know. Maybe I was just obsessing about that. But other than that, great movie. I think you guys should definitely check it out. As always, these are retro episodes. They're little tidbits that we can throw in the middle of the week, sometimes on the weekends when recording schedules get messed up. And this was one of those. So it's a little bit shorter. We're trying something new out with the they're basically ads, but they're for my own website and other projects that I'm working on. So not asking for money, and I'm not going to be able to make money off of these ads, but it's more of a, what do they call those, a public service announcement to let you guys know that if you're already into this podcast, there's a whole other side project that I work on, and you'll hear that. I don't know where to put the ads just yet. I don't even know if I want to call them that yet. PSAs. For the people that are already into the podcast that and dig it and maybe want to expand a little bit more, maybe you're bored, we have a bunch of stuff for you to check out, so check that out. I think the next retro episode is going to be another documentary. We're sort of starting to fall into a trend here for the retro episodes. Old documentaries are just cool, I don't really care. And by old, I mean clearly within 6 months to 2 years so far. So the next one I think is going to be called Burger Town. I think it runs like less than an hour. Every time I go to watch it, I'm hungry, and I don't want to watch a documentary about food when I'm hungry, so I just skip over it. But hopefully it'll be Burger Town. If not, we'll try to announce it in the next episode of our regular Week Late podcast on Sundays. Check us out on Facebook. We are facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. We are on Twitter @aweeklate. I'm on Twitter @analysis489. I also run the Twitter page for Mr. Cryptic, who's the co-host for the regular Week Late podcast. He is @JasonCryptic. I also run the Twitter for the blog, the music blog, which is @FenPromos for FenEntertainment.com. Hit us up on Gmail, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, you guys. Keep listening. Keep telling your friends. Like us on Facebook. It doesn't matter now, but it will in the future when we get this thing where we want it to go. Get in on the ground level. Tell your friends. Don't be shy. Hit us up on Twitter. We need more interaction. Until next time, I am Darren, a.k.a. Analysis49, and we will see you a week ago. This episode of Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free.
never a charge for anything. For all of this and much
more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.